Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's me, Dr. Kevin Stevenson, welcoming you to another episode of I Don't Care with, sure, me, Kevin Stevenson. Really appreciate you joining me today. Today's guest is Kirk Huntsman. He is the chairman and CEO of Vivos. Did I say that right, Kirk?
You did. Very Vivos good. Therapeutics.
Very good. Yep. I'm excited about my conversation today with Kirk because I am a sleep apnea survivor of about 30 years on a CPAP machine, and Kirk's company deals with oral appliances that can improve obstructive sleep apnea. And so really looking forward to that conversation. But first, Kirk, let me welcome you to I Don't Care.
Good. Great to be here, Kevin. This is exciting. I always love talking about all things sleep related. So happy to join you.
Thank you so much. Well, before we get started in that, you know, Kirk, if you don't mind sharing with my audience a little bit about you, a little bit about Vivos and your journey in healthcare, because I was reading your bio, and it's quite impressive.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I've been an entrepreneur, somewhat of a serial entrepreneur in the healthcare space for nearly 40 years. Was really one of the original creators of the what's come to be known as the DSO market, the dental support or dental services organization space. Launched one of the first DSO groups back in 1995. Had been in healthcare for a while up to that point in the dental arena, and came to the sleep space about 15 years ago or so. This is an exciting time. The research in sleep apnea, the research in and the innovation that's taking place in this industry, and the things we're learning. It's interesting. Your listeners might be curious or interested to know that we've only known and identified sleep apnea as a medical condition. It first started appearing in the medical literature back in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it in the whole scheme of, you know, the history of medicine, et cetera, it's a fairly new disorder that we're still learning a lot about. CPAPs came on the market 45 years ago. So if you're a 31-year survivor of CPAP, my friend, you're one of the rare birds who endures those things as long as you have. My company, Vivos Therapeutics, it's Vivos, Vivos.com. But my company's claim to fame is a very novel and highly differentiated mechanism of action that is mediated through an oral appliance device that remodels the human airway and the tissues that comprise it. We do that through repositioning and redeveloping the jaws and the oral cavity. So, I can actually look at you, having done this as long as I have, I can look at you and tell you, you would be an ideal candidate for what we do.
Okay.
Because we actually bring the maxilla, your upper jaw, mm-hmm. and the mandible forward, and we redevelop it, make it wider. And so a lot of in our modern society, for lots of reasons, which, you know, some of them are genetic, some of them are epigenetic forces and factors, nutritional factors, lifestyle, diets, et cetera, our modern human bodies do not develop and progress the way that our ancestors did. Mm-hmm. And as one of the near-term challenges with that is that we don't have the size of airways that we used to have. And that's specifically the result of a lack of development of our maxillary size forward and wide. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it used to be that our ancestors, you go back 250, 300 years in the fossil record, and you see these great big wide smiles or arches, dental arches with all 32 teeth mm-hmm. in place. And today we can't fit 32 teeth. So we have to have wisdom teeth, right. Up to four wisdom teeth taken out because we can only house comfortably 28. Huh. Well, that extra space has taken our faces and retruded them. And so where our ancestors were much more forward in their profiles and much wider, ours are not. And so what happens is that a lack of breastfeeding, the nutritional aspect of things, the just the lack of hard food diets, and there's other factors that go into this, but there's lots of factors that are creating a condition today where we no longer have the kinds of airways that we used to have. And those airway, the modern airway, especially for certain phenotypes. So an Asian phenotype, for example, has a cranial base that is actually shorter, and certain cranial angles that are vary markedly from Caucasians and other phenotypes. So genetics plays a role in it. Our environment plays a role in it. Trauma, early stage, even birth trauma. If the use of forceps came into play, you have all kinds of craniofacial and developmental distortions in posture, in the spine, in the cranial bones. And what happens is that all of those things, although nobody talks much about this, well, more people are talking about it now, but historically, not a lot of people have realized that all of those things impact our breathing, something we take for granted, but something that is highly essential for our ongoing life. And, you know, our lives depend on us being able to inspire and exhale. And we really can't do that very well when we have these compromised airways. So my firm has created a novel way of non-surgically remodeling those tissues. And we take people off of their CPAP. So if you ever get to a point, Kevin, where you'd like that 31-year journey to end and you'd like to say goodbye and have some sort of a burial ceremony where you bury your CPAP in the backyard and say goodbye to that and never have to use it again, you need to give me a call. Because we take people off CPAP every day.
Okay, so now you've got me hooked. Okay, first of all, you just took a look at me and said, okay, you're going to be a candidate. Why? What about this mug makes me a really good candidate? If you start talking about weight, Kurt, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah. So besides the weight part, when you smile, especially when you smile big like that, I can notice from all the way from Denver, Colorado here, you've got what are called dark corridors. And that means there's dark space on both sides of your dental arch. And what that means is that, so if you think about, what's the actress who played in Pretty Woman?
Julia Roberts.
Okay. So Julia Roberts, if you look at her as sort of the ideal on the other end of the spectrum, when Julia Roberts smiles, you see nothing but this great big, broad, wide smile that's staring you in the face, right? But most people don't get that. They don't get that full, complete development. And most people have what you have, which is dark corded. And that means you have a narrow upper dental arch that impinges upon. So when I have when my dental arch that's supposed to be a Roman arch, when it's narrow, it turns into a Gothic arch.
Okay.
And so when the roof of your mouth, which is now a Gothic instead of Roman, when that happens, then it impinges upon your ability to breathe through your nose, and it compresses the nasal space that you have to breathe nasally. Mm-hmm. And so there's all kinds of different things. I noticed when you smiled real big a minute ago that your tongue, the position of your tongue went back like this. That's another sign. It's called a Mallampati score. And so there's several things that I can see from you just in looking at you I have people in that are, I'm not a doctor, but I have doctors on staff and that we've trained that actually read faces to actually identify conditions, and they can tell just from certain. So if you had one, and I can't tell from here, but if you had one ear that was lower, you had this or that, you might, it looks like you have your left eye is your right eye is a little bit bigger than your left eye from what I can see here. Mm-hmm. And so these cranes, even very, very small, very imperceptibly small cranial. By the way, I have that same thing. My left eye is smaller when I'm just standing, just looking straight ahead. My left eye has, you can see less of the pupil than you can with my right eye. And a lot of people have that. And sometimes there's leveling that are just sort of asymmetry that's taking place in our faces. Those are immediate signs of potential airway challenges and breathing disorders. If there's a postural adjustment, you know, we treated a very famous individual, Hall of Fame basketball player. He's over 7 foot tall. And this guy came to us and he had all kinds of different compensations going on in that 7 foot frame of his. Mm-hmm. And we treated him successfully by straightening it out. And he only had to wear our appliances for about 6 months before he was back on track. So it's usually a 9 to 12 month period of time. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not 31 years, my friend. Okay. I can tell you that. So 9 to 12 months and you're in and out of treatment. You got a better looking mug, and you might even lose a little weight along the way, which is another benefit of this. But when we breathe and sleep better, our bodies process and handle the oxidation of lipids, and they secrete more human growth hormone, less cortisol. So you get all kinds of rebalancing that takes place in the human body, and all kinds of things start to go better. So we can, you know, I did a podcast earlier on erectile dysfunction and obstructive sleep apnea. So there's the scope of what we now know that obstructive sleep apnea is affecting is virtually every chronic disease known to man is either caused by or made worse from obstructive sleep apnea.
Okay, that's fascinating, because I've been blaming this on my dad my entire life. My dad was one of those guys that, you know, he would travel for business and people would beat on his walls in his hotel room because he was rattling the walls. And so I just figured, okay, I have no choice. Obviously, I'm a big guy. So, you know, we went that route. But, you know, I honestly went into and did a sleep study to save my marriage, because my wife had to move to the bedroom across the hall for about a year because I was so loud. She didn't get any sleep. And so I did that. And immediately, once I got on the CPAP, again, 31 years ago, I noticed an immediate change. Now, I fortunately, over the last year, have lost, you know, a decent amount of weight. I don't snore as much whenever, you know, if I take a nap on a Sunday afternoon, I don't put on the CPAP. But I don't snore as badly as I used to. But I'll tell you, we do a lot of traveling. I've got my little travel CPAP. I'm tired of packing that. It takes up a little bit of space in my suitcase. So, yeah, I'm interested in talking to your folks about this, because, you know, there's other interventions out there. I don't want to go into those. But the one when they implant the wire and you're playing with it on your phone frightens me. You know, I don't want anybody to be able to hack into my phone and do any.
So, look, there's all kinds of ways to address this. At the end of the day, you want something that is effective, safe, affordable, and gives you a lasting solution. You don't want to have to fuss with this any more than you have to. And I got to tell you, I have more fun on airplanes when I see if I see anybody getting on the airplane, you know, schlepping in their CPAP over their shoulder. I'll start holding court and I'll start bringing out some images. And before you know it, I've got people in front of me turned around on their seats. I've got people behind me. I've got people beside me asking for my business card, because everybody either is suffering with this, or they are sleeping with somebody suffering from this, or they know somebody. Parents who have children or grandchildren that are suffering from this are talking to us. So this is a pervasive condition. It's everybody's affected by it. Marriages are affected by it. I mean, I hear that every day, every day.
So, okay. And I'm not a real doctor either. My doctorate's a PhD kind of thing. So, but I'm hearing you say, okay, you are, you know, your appliance basically remakes the jaw, right? I heard that right, correctly?
Yeah. So what happens is that dentists have been, they've been fussing around with what are called removable oral devices, sure, or removable oral appliances. They've been trying to figure out how to do things without permanently affixing something in the mouth. They've been trying to figure out how can we reshape and reform, mm-hmm, and do this. And it's very difficult. I'll just say, okay, this. It's very difficult. They've been doing that for over 100 years, trying to figure it out. About a decade ago, I was introduced by my brother, who's a dentist. I was introduced to someone who had figured out some of these things and had some early patents on some of this. And we've taken his technology and we have improved it. We've modified it. We've made the protocols easier and faster. So it used to take almost 2 years of, you know, wearing these things every night. And we've got it down to under a year now for most patients. Okay. What we know how to do is we know how to redevelop the dental arches, and we know how to reposition and by redeveloping the upper arch. You know, your back teeth, your lower teeth are locked in position, mm-hmm, by your upper teeth. So it's your upper teeth that, for most of us, our upper teeth determine how far forward or back our lower jaw can come. So if we can take the upper jaw and move it forward, that allows our mandible to come, mm-hmm, forward. When our mandible comes forward, and what happens is that our tongue comes forward, because the tongue is attached to the mandible. The tongue can't, mm-hmm, do anything else. It's the relative position of our tongue is determined by the forward or backward position of our mandible. So if we're born with a weak or retruded mandible, then we're going to suffer with sleep apnea our whole lives. If we have extractions, mm-hmm, and braces, if we have extractions and then braces, which you might have had, I don't know.
I didn't have braces, but I've had a couple.
Okay, a lot of people have had that have had teeth extractions. The when they straighten those teeth out, then there's a retrusion effect. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that all of that, taking all that anatomy and pushing it back, all of that impacts the functional space that God gave us called the human airway. Mm-hmm. The human airway sits right behind our tongue. And if our tongue is pushed back, or if our pharyngeal wall at the back of our throat is pushed forward by some type of a spinal, you know, subluxation of C1, mm-hmm, C2, C3, there is a compression of that airway. And that makes that airway more prone to collapse. And so what happens is that when we lay down at night, everything and gravity takes over, everything gets worse. And so what we try to do is redevelop the airway to a degree that it is less prone to collapse, that it's bigger and more functional. I could show you images, and I'll send you some that you can have your editors put in the thing here. But the airway itself becomes larger, and it does become more patent. The larger the space, we know from the literature, the more patent the airway. That means, mm-hmm, the firmer it is, less prone to actually give in to a collapse.
You know, I mean, you're saying all the things that, you know, and I'm sure if my producer's cut to me, I'm over here trying to play with my jaw and figure this out myself. But I've noticed as I've gotten older, I have a more pronounced overbite, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, yeah, I played offensive line for 7 years in junior high and high school and got the top of my head pounded in. And yeah, so I had, you know, enough spinal trauma to make sense of it.
Right.
But yeah, because I'm over here as you're talking, I'm thinking, okay, I gotta test this out. You know, I'm trying to stick my lower jaw forward and I can feel my tongue shift. And
yeah,
and you know, it just makes totally perfect sense.
So there are two kinds on that point, Kevin. There are two kinds of oral devices.
Okay.
There's the Vivos approach, which is let's actually redevelop this area and make it better and make it last. Mm-hmm. Then there's a temporary fix that most oral appliances offer, which is you're going to put this device in your mouth and it's going to hold your, it's going to artificially hold you like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That works pretty well for a lot of people. On a short-term basis, they can be really effective. On a long-term basis, you have to keep, you have to do something with a CPAP as well as with this called titration. Mm-hmm. You've been through titration studies. You know how that goes. Well, there's going to come a day, and you look like you're maybe my age. I don't know. You're in your 60s maybe or something. But
64.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's going to come a time when they're not going to be able to titrate you anymore. They're going to pressure, they're going to put that, they're going to, the titration on a CPAP is let's turn up the volume. Let's put up the pressure. So we get that just right because they want you at an optimal pressure. Mm-hmm. Well, your tissues are getting more flaccid as we go, right? They're getting more stretched out. The elasticity's not there in our, any part of us anymore, but it's really to a point where, you'll get to a point where that CPAP will not be effective. And that's why you see guys, when you see guys fussing around with these implants, the neural stimulation where it's implanting, sticking that tongue forward, those devices are done for patients where there's no longer any, they can't wear the CPAP anymore because the CPAP use has gone away. And so the same is true of these other devices. So what happens is that we want to try to get in and redevelop that airway as young as possible, mm-hmm. but we've treated patients successfully as old as 86. So, you know, we can do that at just about any age. We used to say 3 to 83, and then because it rhymed a little bit, and then we treated an 86-year-old. So I guess we got to bump that up. It doesn't rhyme as well.
You got to change that up. Okay, so sounds fascinating. I know the question that a lot of my audience will have. Does dental insurance cover this?
Dental insurance does not cover this, but medical insurance will.
Okay.
So, and your medical insurance is more robust anyway.
Sure.
So, it'll cover in some cases, it'll cover it completely. In other cases, it'll cover about half.
Okay.
In a few cases still, some payers are not covering it to the degree they should. But most of the time, if you average it all out, patients get about half of it covered. You're going to have to come out of pocket probably some amount of money, either by meeting your deductible or by doing this. But it qualifies for HCA or HSA coverage. So you have, you can use your HSA funds. You can do all kinds of things. Treatment runs about $8,000 to $10,000, depending on the dentist who's doing it. Takes 9 months to a year, but at the end of the day, it'll make you better looking. It'll make you breathe better, and it'll solve your nighttime sleep problems for most patients. Now, I don't want to say we've cured this because not everybody gets 100% better, but a lot of patients get mostly, if not all the way there, to full normal breathing at night.
Okay, well. I would imagine my wife would sign me up for that if it could make me better looking. So I'm sure it would be. Okay. So as far as dental providers go, are you in all 50 states? What's your coverage look like?
Yeah, we have about 2,000 dentists around the country.
Okay.
The best way for patients who are interested in this is to go onto our website at vivos.com, call the help desk number there and get a referral.
Okay.
Because not all of our 2,000 dentists are created equal. We want to get you people who take the time to go to our website and then call us. We want to get you to the very best. And so wherever you are in the country, there's probably somebody that's within, 20, 30 minute drive, sometime right there in your community.
Well, I'm in Central Texas, so hopefully, you've got somebody close to
you. You know, I'm from San Antonio, so I didn't know you were Central. What part of Central
Waco.
Texas? Okay, well, I'm San Antonio, San Antonio guy, but I know Waco is Baylor Bears down there.
There you go.
For sure.
Good segue because I saw that you're a BYU grad, and so now we're in the same conference. We get to play each other. Unfortunately, not this year.
I know. I'm actually a little bit glad for that. You guys, you guys have an impressive quarterback and an impressive team this year. So good luck to you guys. Until if we meet in the conference championship, then I'll have to switch that out.
Yeah.
But I root for you guys regularly.
Well, and I root for you guys too. You took us to the woodshed whenever we came up your way a few years ago. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully we could meet in the conference championship game. That would be a lot of fun.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Well, Kirk, any final words? I've really enjoyed this. Anytime I can talk about something that I personally know a little bit more about than other topics, it's a lot more fun.
Well, I would just say to your audience, you know, the ability to get a clear diagnosis for sleep apnea, you no longer have to schlep your pajamas over to the sleep lab and sleep in front of a stranger, right? You can do this in the comfort of your home. It's easy to do. Get with your primary care physician and get a prescription for a home sleep test.
Okay.
Your insurance will cover it. In most cases, the insurance will cover the home sleep test. And then you can get an absolute real diagnosis on your condition. And once you know that you've got, and our doctors, by the way, the doctors, if you call Vivos, a lot of them dispense the home sleep tests and they have a medical doctor that will read the tests and all that, but get a diagnosis. If they don't take anything else away from this, the number one thing I would say is get tested. And once you're tested, then you can decide how you want to treat it or if you want to do nothing at all about it. Okay. But if you do suspect yourself that of your condition, that you might have some indications of sleep apnea going on, get tested. It's easy. It's simple. It's painless. It's just so easy. There's no excuse not to do it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So Kirk, if I did, and I'll be honest, I do want to explore this a little bit further. I did have a sleep study done. I think it was about 2.5 years ago. Is that recent enough or should I get
you got to have it in the last, I think it's the last year, maybe the last 2 years. So we could get you set up, Kevin. And I've got doctors. I don't know if I have anybody in Waco per se, but I know I've got people in the greater Dallas area.
Okay.
We could be helpful.
Very
there.
Good. So, yeah. We do have a local sleep medicine physician. So might be able to
great. Do that. That's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. Well, great. Well, Kirk, it's been a real pleasure. Yeah. I've really enjoyed this and, you will be seeing my information come across your website here really soon.
Good. Good. Look forward to it.
Great.
Look forward to it.
Thanks again. Kirk Huntsman, Chairman and CEO of Vivos. If you've got sleep apnea, go to their website, vivos.com, and at least, get a diagnosis and see if this works for you. So, Kirk, take care. Have a great day.
Kevin, thank you so much. Appreciate
really
it.
Really enjoyed it. Well, another episode of I Don't Care with me, Dr. Kevin Stevenson, is now in the books. Thank you so much for joining me, and we'll talk again next week. Take care.